Morning again. Good to see you. We're turning to Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. Joseph has just had the visitation from the angel. And it says in verse 20, "And while he thought on these things," "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen, and God will bless his inspired word. The Gospel of Matthew is a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew, led by the Holy Spirit, is telling us who Jesus is. And in showing us who Jesus is, he is elevating the Lord Jesus Christ to a place, the place of prominence in the Bible. Matthew is proving to all, including the Jews, that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of David and the Son of Abraham. And this is proven by the genealogical line. He is also Mary's son, born of a virgin, verse 20. He is God's son, conceived by the Holy Ghost, verse 20. And he is Savior, as we looked at last week, verse 21. Now, up until the end of verse 23 of the chapter, Matthew is still telling us who Jesus is. And then he tells us some of the story of Jesus' birth. See, it says in verse 22, "Now all this was done, that it might be spoken of, fulfilled what was spoken of by the prophet." All what was done? All this was done. The virgin conception immediately preceding, all this was done, the virgin conception happened that prophecy in the Old Testament might be fulfilled. Now, there are 4 points this morning, and they are these. Who is he? He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. That's verses 22 and 23. Secondly, he is also the seed or the descendant of woman. Verse 23. Thirdly, he is Emmanuel. Verse 23. And fourthly, his birth, 24 and 25. But firstly, Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We must see that, verse 22 and 23. "Now this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." The one of whom Matthew is speaking here, Jesus Christ, the son of David and Abraham, Mary's son, God's son and Savior, is the literal, actual, complete fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming one, the Messiah, the Redeemer. These events that happened previous to his birth and at his birth and just after it happened to fulfill prophecy. God, in his sovereign power, is fulfilling his word. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. His prophets did not lie, and what they said in the Old Testament will be perfectly fulfilled and is fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the verse, all this was done. The word done is a verb, and it's a second aorist, which is a past tense verb, and it's an indicative, which means it's a statement of fact. This happened in the past, that it might be fulfilled, again, aorist past tense, that the prophecies would be fulfilled. This just happened, and that's it. That's a statement of fact. Verse 23 says that the prophecy referred to is the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, to which I'll turn you now. You see the original, Isaiah 7:14, although you know it very well. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. David Dixon, the Scottish Presbyterian commentator on this verse, says, the prophet, for the comfort of the church, gives assurance that not only God should save Israel from her enemies, that is in Isaiah's day, whom unbelieving Ahaz, who was king at the time, did too much fear, but also, says the commentator in this promise, that the Redeemer of Israel should verily be incarnate and assume human nature in a wonderful manner. God with us. So Isaiah prophesied that someone would be born of a virgin called Emmanuel, God with us, human beings. But that, as you know, is not the only Old Testament prophecy to do with Christ's birth and who he is. And I want to give you just one or two more. In over a couple of pages in Isaiah 9, it also says in verses 6 and 7, another prophecy, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So also Isaiah says that a child would be born, but a son would be given. And he would have all authority laid upon his shoulders. And his name would be Wonderful, Amazing, Counselor, speaking of his wisdom, the Mighty God, the Omnipotent God, God himself, God the Son, the Everlasting Father, means the Eternal God, and the Prince of Peace. But it says his kingdom shall have no end. And last one you can add to that is Micah. Not last, but the last I'm giving you this morning, I think. Micah 5, verse 2. These are just some of the prophecies that were fulfilled. But thou, Bethlehem, Judea, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Bethlehem, though you're little, small, and insignificant, unimportant, out of all the thousands of Judah, yet in you shall be born the one whose birth was eternally foretold, the one who will be the ruler, whose kingdom will have no end, will come from Bethlehem. And you see that it, of course, happened in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, then 1 to 7. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus, in his coming, is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning Messiah. And then you can add to that maybe one in Hosea, because it says there, when Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. We would never think that that was a messianic prophecy, except it tells you that it is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, that when Herod was after killing all the babies that were born, Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. And then when Herod had died, he called his son back out of Egypt, back to Nazareth. So who is this one that Matthew is speaking of? He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There's no doubt about that. Secondly, he is the seed of the woman. Now it says that in verse 23, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now remember, in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, God comes to Adam and punishes Adam, and then he punishes Eve, and then he punishes the serpent, the devil. And God speaks to them. In Genesis 3:15 especially is the promise that I'm referring to. And says to Satan, there'll be enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And thy seed shall bruise his heel, but her seed shall bruise thy head, he said to Satan. Now that word seed means descendant, but it's not descendants plural. In the Hebrew, it is singular, as in one seed, one particular descendant. The teaching is that Satan will be defeated after tricking humanity and bringing about the fall through deceit. That Satan's defeat will be in the context of fallen humanity, but how will he be defeated? Satan would be mortally wounded, how? By the seed or one descendant particular of a woman. But how could that be, you see? This is so important. How could that be? The seed or the descendant, that means children that be born. Now, how are children born? It's a man and a woman, isn't it? A man and a woman come together as husband and wife. So how could the one that be born be only the seed of the woman? A virgin shall conceive. That's it. There was no man involved. The Holy Ghost caused it to happen. And from the human side in the womb, Jesus Christ was seed of the woman only. And it is the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, an impossible thing that would crush Satan's head. So who is Christ? Behold, a virgin shall be with child. How? Says Mary. Seeing I know not a man. He's the seed of the woman. That's who he is. He is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3:15. He is the one who came to crush the head of the serpent, who deceived humanity into the fall. The virgin conception proves he is the seed, singular, of the woman. So who is Christ? The fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He is the seed of the woman. Thirdly, he is Emmanuel. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. God made flesh with us. The Old Testament taught that Messiah would be God with us. Matthew Henry the Puritan says the people of the Jews had God with them in types and shadows, dwelling between the cherubim and the tabernacle and temple, but never so as the Word was made flesh. That was the blessed Shekinah. End of quote. A virgin would be with child, and that child would be God with us, God in flesh. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what it says in the epistles. The Godhead, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. In all fullness, how could that be? That is impossible. Well, it's not. It's Jesus Christ. It has been promised by God through the prophets, Isaiah 9, 6, that a child would be born, but a son would be given. And he'd be the ruler, he'd be wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He would literally, physically be God with us. So he who was born in Bethlehem is God with us. That's who he is. That's who Matthew's saying he is. God the Son. And as God, the God in heaven, God speaking concerning his temple says, the heaven of heavens cannot contain me. Do you think your wee temple will? Well, even as the heaven of heavens cannot contain God, he, the Word of God, that created the world, according to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. He created all things. He was with God in the beginning, John 1, verse 2. And verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And verse 14 of John 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This one, God with us, the one whom heaven could not contain, was contained in a virgin's womb. God the Son. He was made flesh and born. And he came down to us in all our sin and our smallness, and we rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But we know him now, don't we? And we love him. But who is Jesus Christ? He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He's the seed or the descendant, singular, of the woman. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Not just a man, not just a baby born. And the last point, which I'll tell you after I've given it, verse 24 and 25. Look what it says. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. Joseph obeyed the message. that the angel of the Lord had given him. And he took Mary, his wife, and he did not know her intimately as a husband until after Jesus was born. He did what he was asked. He performed. What does that mean? Why am I drawing attention to this? Joseph was told by Mary, no doubt, I haven't been with any other man. And then an angel tells him, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he believes that, doesn't he? In his head. He believes it. But not only, biblical faith is not just believing in our head. He then does what he believes. He puts it into action. He obeyed what he'd heard and what he said he believed. He obeyed it. He did it. In other words, his faith changed his practice. And that's real biblical faith. Not just head knowledge, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe in him. No, but I'm trusting in him in an action for my salvation is different. Faith, practice, obedience. Who is Jesus? Well, he's Joseph's Lord. Joseph obeyed him. He didn't just love him, but he obeyed him because the baby born was actually Joseph's Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? Who is Jesus Christ? The fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He's the seed of the woman only. He's God with us, and he is Lord. And he was born. In Luke's gospel, it tells us because Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem because of the census. They didn't live there, but God just caused the world superpower, the emperor, to have all the world to be taxed just at the right time when his son would be born, fulfilling the prophecy in Bethlehem. And he was born in that place when there was no room in the inn. Christ was born in an animal house. Where else would you be led? In a manger, which is a feeding trough. He had a feeding trough for a cot. And that night out on the hills, as you well know, the shepherds see the angels appearing and singing under the night sky, and the angel came and proclaimed the wonder of what had happened in Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And the angels sang, and the poor shepherds went and they saw it exactly as the angels had told them. The shepherds, the lowlifes, were the first to see him, the lowest strata of society, the working men. Does it seem to you, Jesus being born in Bethlehem in an animal house and laid in a manger, is the birth of a king? No, but it was. It was the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is he? Son of David, son of Abraham. He is Mary's son, God's son, Saviour. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies, the seed or descendant of a woman. He is God with us, and he is the Lord. The Lord. Christians, let us wonder and glory in Jesus Christ, because he fulfilled all those Old Testament prophecies for you and me who believe in him. He crushed Satan's head for you and me. God the Son was given, was born for us. And he is our Lord, we must obey him. If anyone's listening and you're not saved, you remember this, your sin is so terrible that you have no hope whatsoever of going to heaven or being forgiven by God. No hope. Yet God promised from the beginning that he would send a seed of woman, he would send Jesus Christ to break the power of sin and defeat Satan. And it was God himself that came down for the love of sinners. we quite often, and I, when I was looking over this again, we hear this story so often, don't we? And I'm the same. It's probably worse, nearly. You become accustomed to it, and it doesn't move you at all. It's normal. Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. We all know that. And he came from heaven, where he was all glorified, down to earth to save us. So what? But when we think about it, would you? Would you leave a place where you're loved? A place where you're adored? A place where you're honored and glorified? Would you leave it and come down to a planet to be born in abject poverty, in an animal shed? Would you do it? I wouldn't. Would you live on earth for come down from heaven and come down and live for 33 years on earth and let hypocrites question you and mock you and try and trick you? And even though it was extremely painful and uncomfortable, would you leave heaven and submit to the will of God your Father and be arrested and battered and judged and spat upon and nailed to a cross, and even there, in dying, being mocked? Would you voluntarily do that? I wouldn't. He didn't have to. He said to Peter in Gethsemane, "Do you not know I could call legions of angels?" He could have, but he did not. He chose to do it, and he died alone on the cross, bearing the wrath of all the justice of a holy God upon our sin. Why? Because from eternity, he loved the unlovely. He loved sinners, and he wanted to save sinners. And that's why he came and he died, to save sinners. This is Jesus, who Matthew speaks of. And if you come to him, he will receive you. If you come to him in faith and repentance, you are one of his. When I was in White Abbey, there were some people that sometimes attended. You know what? They believed in God, they said. They believed that God created the world. They even believed, they said, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and they believed there was such a thing as sin, and Jesus died for sin. And they actually believed. You had to actually repent and believe to be saved, but they were a funny kind of unbeliever, but they were still an unbeliever because it was all head knowledge. They still were not saved. Because it's not just about believing these things. Like Joseph, we have to believe them and then do them. I am trusting every day in Jesus. I am turning from my sin and I am relying on him every day. And if ever I will get to heaven, which I will, it'll be solely by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved and listening, call to him and repent of your sin and trust in him, and you will be saved, because he's the Savior and he is the only Savior. And I close now for this morning with a quote from our brother John Calvin. In the cross of Christ, as in a magnificent theatre, the inestimable goodness of God is displayed before the whole world. The honor which belongs to the death of Christ is the fruit which sprung from it for the salvation of man. Amen. Thank you for your attention.